All right. I want us to press forward tonight in our study of supernatural increase. Supernatural increase. We have, the Lord has helped us and we have learned a few things already. And I want us to add to some of the things that we have learned tonight. I want us to press forward and trust that the Holy Spirit will help us as we do so. You remember in Job 8:7, the Bible says, even though your beginning was small, your latter end should greatly increase. So great increase is the will of God for you and for me. Great increase. So wherever we are today, the Bible says, the Lord says that's your beginning point. But when he is done with us, and when he has enlarged us, like he enlarged Jabez, we would have greatly increased. And wherever we are, our starting point will be so different, will be so little, so small compared to where he's taking us. And somebody say amen to that. Now, I want us to look at a few scriptures tonight as we press forward. Remember, we've talked about joy. That joy increase begins with joy. There is a joy of the harvest. There is a joy that is required to draw out of the waters and out of the wells of salvation. We have also learned about knowledge, the power of knowledge. And last week we learned that knowledge is the vessel that determines how much increase God can pour out to you and how much increase you can receive. If you desire increase in any area of life, one of the first responsibilities that we have is to get knowledge in those areas, is to acquire knowledge in those areas. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, we've read that scripture as well. The Lord said, this is the reason why I give you shepherds to feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it says, as a result of that, increase will come into our lives. So there is a direct correlation between increase and knowledge in any area of life, whether it's spiritual. If you want to grow spiritually in your vertical relationship with God, if you want to know God more, if you want to walk closer with the Lord, if you want to be a better Christian and you want to grow in your influence for the kingdom of God, the first key is knowledge. You have to know the Lord more. You have to know his word more. You have to know his person more. You have to learn the principles of his word and know them more. And once knowledge comes into our lives and we grow in knowledge, then we begin to increase in our relationship with God and in our spiritual lives. Same thing in family or vocation. If you want to increase in your career, for instance, you are not going to be able to increase in your career, get increase in your career without increasing in knowledge. But notice, once your knowledge base elevates, once you ascend higher from where you used to be, automatically things are shifted around you to place you higher. When you started maybe whatever current job you're doing now, whenever it was you started, let's say you started 2 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, let's say maybe 10 years ago, you had a knowledge base then. But that knowledge base did not qualify you to do some things that you're probably doing now after 7 years or 2 years or 5 years on that job or in another job. Because while doing that, while pursuing that career, you grew in knowledge. You were supposed to grow in knowledge. And when you grow in knowledge, everything around you shifts. All of a sudden, you are too big to fit into that box that you could fit into 5 years ago. That is exactly how it works in every area of life. So if you desire to grow, to increase in your business, in your vocation, in your career, in your ministry, you've got to go for knowledge. Same thing financially, materially. If you want to have more means to do more in your own personal life and to help more people and to accomplish more while you are on this earth, you need finances to be able to do that. You need material provision to be able to do that. Well, in order to get that material provision, in order to get more finances, you've got to grow in knowledge. You've got to grow in knowledge of how many more opportunities are available to you. What else could you be doing? There's probably someone who is sitting around jobless, wishing that they had the resources they need, maybe to put food on the table, to pay rent, or to do little things like that. And the fundamental truth is there's probably someone hiring and who's willing to give a job to someone who right now feels like they're jobless. Well, someone can say, well, I'm looking for a job in my area of expertise. That's great. But if you can't put food on the table and you are going hungry every day and your family is going hungry and your children are suffering, yeah, keep on working on getting something in your area of expertise, but you may just want to get something that provides a little money, regardless of what that is. So that knowledge of what to do with opportunities, or sometimes how to create opportunities. You know, it's amazing how many opportunities are available to human beings, how many opportunities are available to believers, to the children of God, to Christians. And yet, unfortunately, a lot of times, we pass by those opportunities without even realizing that those are opportunities that God can use to increase us. We pass by possibilities, things that we can maybe put our hands into, and we pass by these things all the time. And yet we might be in our prayer closet every day asking God, increase me, increase me. And yet there is some things, or there are some things that you could actually do that can move you up several steps if you just had knowledge of what to do with those opportunities, or that those opportunities even exist. I remember earlier this week, there's a lady who said to us, she's doing this particular business. And she has a high turnover in that particular business. She just wishes she could have some stable people. She just wishes she could have people she can depend on. And I remember we asked, we said, so like, what kind of skills do these people need to have? She says, not much. I mean, she'll train, she will do all of that. She just wants to have dependable people. And we said, so what's the pay and how do you go about it? And she said, it's the simplest thing. Anybody can do that. Anybody who desires, one, of course, to increase, and two, to work, especially if the need is there in that person's life for opportunities like that. So look at that person is there, that employer, prospective employer, is out there, frustrated because she can't get dependable people to help to work in her business. She has the money coming in. She says she would even have much more money if she just had dependable people. But do you know, there's so many people, both unbelievers and unbelievers, who might pass by this woman every day, who might pass by her business every day, without realizing that there's actually opportunity right there to help them increase. Some of those people have more time on their hands where they can maybe give like 4 more hours, 5 more hours, 12 more hours a week, some 20 more hours a week to doing something like that, to doing a business like that. But they have no idea that that opportunity exists. They don't have knowledge. So you see how critical knowledge is to increase. The truth of the matter is, knowledge is essential for increase. Knowledge is essential for growth. You are limited first by how much you know and by how much you do not know. If there are possibilities that God has made available to you and to me, and we do not know about those possibilities, we cannot increase. This is one of the reasons why when we closed out our session last week, if you joined us, if you were online last week, Wednesday, remember I had you dreaming. I had you looking at different areas of your life and actually imagining increase. It all begins with a vision for increase. But once you have a vision for increase and you have a passion for increase, then the opening of our eyes to see possibilities, because that's what vision is, isn't it? Vision isn't just having this highfalutin thought that we are better than we are, or we have more resources than we currently have. No, vision is actually being able to see, and your ability to see it is what produces knowledge. Your ability to see it is what produces knowledge. Suddenly, you may not have known something was available to you or something was a doable thing, and suddenly your eyes are open to that, and it's like you have this revelation, oh, I can do this. And once you find out you can do that, suddenly you respond to that, you begin to do it, and increase comes into your life. And a lot of times, increase even comes based on the increase that God has given us already. The doors, further doors that God has prepared for our destiny, are usually dependent on the current doors that we open. Knowledge is so critical, is so powerful. I want you to look with me at a story of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the New Testament in John chapter 6. Keep this in mind, and if you are taking notes, I know you've written this down in one way or the other at some point before, but write it down again if you can. Knowledge is essential for increase. You are limited or you are enhanced in your quest for increase and for growth by how much knowledge you have access to in your life. I've said this before also, nothing just happens. We can't just blame God or blame people or blame circumstances. No, nothing just happens. The Bible says in Hosea, we read that scripture last week, Wednesday, it said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But then in the following verse, he actually told us the reason they increased the first time in the first place was because they gained access to knowledge. Knowledge will determine the increase that comes into your life. This is why just being around the Word of God, just learning, listening to teachings like this, and growing and meditating the Word and researching it for yourself, and then increasing your knowledge base. Because once you increase your knowledge base in the Word of God, if you are balanced and if you are being well taught, there is no way you grow in knowledge that you don't begin to grow in understanding. There's no way you go in understanding that you don't begin to grow in wisdom. You remember, if you joined us last Wednesday, I did talk about the three different levels of knowledge. And knowledge begins from theoretical knowledge. That's typically a lot of times what the Bible describes as just knowledge. That's theoretical knowledge a lot of times. That's what that is. But usually, when you meditate on knowledge, that usually produces what we called last week revelation knowledge, or many times the Bible refers to that as understanding. Understanding is when a light comes on in your life or in your spirit or in your heart based on some knowledge that you had, and suddenly the light comes on in such a way that you are able to use that knowledge. That's revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that becomes revealed to you directly and personally. And then revelation knowledge produces eventually what we call experiential knowledge. That's the highest level of knowledge. And experiential knowledge many times in the Word of God is actually described as wisdom, because wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. So those three levels are described often, periodically, right through the Word of God, not just in the Old Testament or in the Psalms or in the Proverbs, but right through the entire Bible. The place of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The place of theoretical knowledge, revelation knowledge, and experiential knowledge. Knowledge will determine how high we rise, and knowledge will determine how low we remain if we lack it. Hallelujah. So let's read together in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, let's read from verse 3. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, I like that expression, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he said unto Philip, where are we going to find bread that these people may eat? He said this, look at verse 6. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Look at verse 6 again. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. What does that mean? Let's break that down into just basic literal English. He said what he said to Philip to prove him, to test him. But he himself, within himself, had knowledge of what he needed to do to get increase to deal with this situation. It's very simple. He said what he said to Philip to prove him or to test him, but within himself, he had knowledge of what he needed to do to get increase that was needed to be able to deal with this situation at hand. I want you to notice that. The Bible says Jesus knew what to do. And this miracle right here that is described in John chapter 6, everything is a fascinating miracle, is a fascinating story. It's an awesome, amazing miracle of the work of God through by the execution of supernatural increase, turning 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into a miracle that fed several thousands of people, and afterward 12 baskets were left. I mean, that's supernatural increase right there. Actually, why don't we read the rest of that story? But as you read it, I want you to keep this in mind. Everything began from this verse 6, that Jesus knew within himself, he had knowledge within himself of what he needed to do. Let me ask you, child of God, do you know what you need to do? See, that's the big question right there. Because a lot of times, we just don't know. A lot of times, we just don't know. This is why knowledge is powerful. This is why we've got to grow in knowledge. If you want to grow spiritually, do you know exactly what you need to do right now that you can begin to do from tomorrow morning that can help you grow in your spiritual life? Do you know? What about in your career, in your job, in your business? The Bible does tell us right through the Bible. It says it's the will of God that he bless you and he bless the work of your hand. It says, say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you, and you will eat the labor, you will eat the doings of your hands. I believe that's Isaiah chapter 3. I'm not sure if that's verse 13 or verse 15 or something. It says, say unto the righteous, it will be well with you, and you will eat the doing, you will eat the labor, you will eat the fruit of your hands. Hallelujah. That's Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10, actually. And right through the Bible, we see God blessing the works of people's hands. We see God bless. So my question is, do you know what work to do that God can bless and use to bring increase into your life? How about in your family? You desire to increase in your family, maybe increase in peace, maybe increase in understanding, maybe increase in harmony, maybe increase in the resources that are available to you in your family, maybe increase in your status. Do you know what to do? Do you know what you can begin to do from tomorrow to bring that increase? Well, that's where that is so powerful. That's why knowledge is so crucial. How about in finances? Do you know what to do to have more resources? We learned last week in Genesis chapter 1, what increase is. Increase is getting more of the vast resources upon the earth to be able to use it, use those resources in the service of God and man. That's what it means to be blessed, to have vast resources available so that we can do what we have been called to do and we can help other people do what they have been called to do. So do you have that knowledge? Let's read the rest of this story and move to something else. So the Bible says Jesus himself in verse 6, he knew what to do. That's the key to the rest of this story. He knew, he had knowledge of what he needed to do. And Philip answered him and said, oh, 200 penny worth of bread is not going to be enough to feed them, even if everybody takes just a little bit. So notice, Philip didn't know. He had no knowledge. And then one of the other disciples, I think that was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, oh, there is a little boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. But come on, what are those among so many? The need is so huge. What can we do with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? You see, he had knowledge of something that was available, but he did not have knowledge of what was possible with what was available. That is the place of revelation knowledge. That is the place of understanding. When you understand that little is much when God is in it, when you understand that God is not limited by the meager resources of your life, when you understand that those things in your life that you may be despising, you may be thinking of those as, that's nothing. Somebody says, oh, brother John or sister Mary, what do you have? Oh, you say, nothing. I have nothing. Like that prophet's widow who came to the prophet, came to the man of God and said, you know, the creditors are on my tail. I don't know what to do. And he asked him, what do you have in your side? I said, I have nothing. All I have is this, just one little, small, little bottle of oil. She did not realize, see, because she knew she had a small bottle of oil, but she did not have understanding. She didn't have revelation knowledge that small bottle of oil would actually have the potential to create the breakthrough and the miracle that she needed in her life. Do you know how many people despise what they have? Do you know how many people don't realize that they actually really have everything they need in their life right now to be able to take the next step of increase? Do you know that's true? That in your life right now, you already, I'm not saying you need to go and get it. In your life right now, you already have what you need to take the next step on your journey to have increase. God is not asking you to go and get something that you don't currently have. You already have something that God can use to take you to the next level of increase in your life. Amen. 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 See, he didn't know that. He knew this little boy had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. But when Jesus said, what do we have? Does anybody have any? Of course, one of them said, hey, we don't have any money. In fact, even if we had a little money, I mean, come on, how much bread and how much food are we going to buy that's going to feed all of this? So that one had zero knowledge completely. But the one who had theoretical knowledge didn't have understanding with it. He knew what the little resources they had was, but he did not have an idea that those little resources, the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, is all God needs to actually create a supernatural miracle of increase. Hallelujah. I pray, my prayer for you as we go through this teaching tonight, and even as you press forward in your journey of increase in your personal life, is that you'll be able to take stock of what you have in your life. Because that is one of the most powerful keys for supernatural increase. To take stock, what do I have? To look at your life and to do a complete self-assessment. What exactly do I have? I'm not saying, what will somebody pay money for? That's not what I asked. I said, but what do you have? Somebody said, well, all I have is I talk, I just have that gift of the gab, but nobody's going to pay for me to talk. Well, that's what you think. You see, I have knowledge, but you don't have understanding. See, the Lord can show you and light can come on in your spirit about what your ability to talk, that gift of the gab, about something it can produce in your life that right now you have no clue about and nobody around you has a clue about. But first of all, you have to recognize that that's something you have. You have to take that gift to the Lord. You have to take that possession to the Lord. And then you have to open your eyes. Once you have this expectation and passion and vision for increase, you have to open your eyes to say, oh, okay, Lord, I'm open. I'm an open vessel. show me, reveal to me, and then be willing to do some research, be willing to find out, be willing to knock on some doors, be willing to dig deep, be willing to go online and find out, be willing to talk to people, be willing to read books that are in that are specific to some of those things that you have. And through all of those different activities, at some point, light comes up in your heart and you think, whoa, you know what? I can use this gift of the gab. I can actually use it in some way or the other to improve somebody's life in such a way that it can actually bring increase into my life. They may not be willing to pay for it, but it can put me in position where this gift of the gab actually begins to bring resources into my life because I use it in the way that is beneficial to somebody else. All of this is based on knowledge. Knowledge. So when they told him about the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus said unto them in verse 10, make everybody sit down. The Bible said there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, and they were in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. So he knew that there were fragments remaining, so that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto all of them that had eaten. You see right here the power of God in bringing supernatural increase in this situation that the Lord Jesus Christ was involved in. But you also see right here how everything was initiated and everything sprang out of the knowledge that Jesus had inside of him. Even when something was presented to him as a limit, even when something was presented to him as insufficient, even when something was presented to him as useless and not worthy of consideration, there was deep knowledge within the Lord Jesus Christ that the miracle they needed was right there in that assembly. The miracle, everything they needed for supernatural increase was right there in that assembly. And my prayer for you today is that you will see, you will, as you continue to grow in knowledge, you will come to a place of realization that everything you need to take your next step of increase is not somewhere in one other city somewhere, one other state somewhere. It's not somewhere in another country. It's not in some other person's hand. It's not in somebody you don't know. It's not, No. You already have what you need right now. If you will just take stock, if you present who you are, what you have to the Lord, and then if you will get on a journey of self-discovery to a point where you are willing to open up your vessel so that the Lord can point light and he can shine his light in you, within you, to show you the areas where you actually have potential and ability to gain supernatural increase. I pray that that will be your experience in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you as we move forward, do not settle. Please, don't settle. I've said this a few times now already in this series of teachings. I want to say it again tonight. Please, don't settle. I don't know what it took you to get to where you are. For most of us, it took a lot. It may have taken a lifetime of working. May have taken a lifetime of persevering and standing and trusting. May have taken a lifetime of waiting and pressing and pushing. I don't know what it took you to get to where you are, but I want to appeal to you tonight. Please don't settle. Don't accept where you are as God's ultimate for your life. Don't accept what you currently have in your life today as the best that God can give you. Please don't settle. One of the reasons why Father Abraham is one of our greatest examples for walking and exercising and enjoying the blessings of supernatural increase in our lives is because he did not settle. He did not settle. Of course, you know what the word of God says about Abraham. Let's look at Isaiah. I'm going to take you to Genesis 11, but take a moment and look at Isaiah with me, Isaiah 51. In Isaiah 51, I want you to look at verse 2. It says, "Look unto Abraham, your father, and Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I increased him." Look at that scripture again. Let's read it from verse 1 actually. It says, "Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock where you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit where you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you or bore you, for I called him alone, and I blessed him, and I increased him." Well, the word of God is telling us tonight that everything that our father Abraham became, he became all of that supernaturally. Because when the Lord called him, he said, "I called him alone." He didn't have a vast pool of resources when the Lord called him. He didn't have a whole army to work with when the Lord called him. He didn't have so many things that looked like they were going for him when the Lord called him. In fact, he had a few things that didn't seem to be going that well for him. He had one of his brothers die prematurely. His wife was, they had been believing God and expecting and hoping for a miracle of childbirth. His father, when they started on their journey, told them they were going to Canaan or to Ur of the Chaldees, but somehow or the other, they arrived at a place and the father kind of just stopped there for whatever reason. And while they were there, before they actually got to where the father said they were going, his father too died. So Abraham did not seem to have a lot of things going for him. But you know one thing he did not do? He did not settle. He didn't sit there and fold his hands or put his hands on his head and say, "Woe is me. I guess this is all I have." God said, "I called him alone." Well, I guess this is it. He said, "I called him, Abraham, and Sarah, his wife, alone." But then the Lord followed up by saying, "And I blessed him and I increased him." And today you and I are still fruits of the supernatural increase that the Lord brought into the life of Father Abraham and Mother Sarah. The Lord said, "I called them alone, but then I blessed them and I increased them." How did he do it? Supernaturally. Why? Because Abraham did not settle. Abraham did not settle. Abraham, when the Lord called to him, he said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." When the Lord said, "Do you know I can increase you?" He said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Come, let me send you and take you to a place where you've never been." Say, "Yes, Lord. Let me do some things in your life that nobody has ever experienced." Say, "Yes, Lord." Hallelujah. Abraham didn't settle. He didn't settle. I want you to read with me in Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, I want you to read with me. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. I'm going to read from verse 27. Genesis chapter 11 from verse 27. It says, "Now this is the story or the history of the descendants of Terah." Terah was the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah died in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. But Sarah bare no children. She had no child. Verse 31. And Terah took Abraham, his son, Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together to go from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. When they got up from Ur of the Chaldees, their destination was Canaan land. When he gathered what was left of his family, which included Abraham, what he said to them was, folks, we're going to Canaan. You and I know from understanding of the Bible, Canaan represents the promised land today. You know, ultimately, when the Jews were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, you know, when the Lord released them from that captivity, what he said to them was, I'm taking you to Canaan. Canaan was the equivalent of the promised land. Canaan was different from the land of their captivity. Canaan was also very different from the land of their wandering in the wilderness. Canaan was a place that promised them abundance of everything. Canaan was a place that promised them abundance of peace, abundance of joy, abundance of provision. Canaan was the place that promised them inheritance. The Lord told them, he said, I will take you to a land where you will dwell in houses that you did not build. You will drink from brooks of water that will never run dry. That was Canaan. Canaan was very different from Egypt because Canaan represented the place of ultimate increase. Very much like when Jacob and all his sons came out of where they were living, when they heard about his son Joseph being the prime minister of the land of Egypt. Suddenly, overnight, the Lord translated them from a place where they lacked every good thing they needed to a place called Goshen, where everything was supplied for them. Everything was provided for them. And they did not have to toil for it. By virtue of the fact that his son Joseph was the prime minister of the land of Egypt, everything was provided for them in Goshen. Everything. Everything. Goshen represented the place of ultimate increase. Hallelujah. Child of God, I want you to know, God has a Goshen for you. God has a Canaan land for you. It is not where you currently are. It is a place of abundance. It is a place where you dwell and there's abundance of rest. There's abundance of peace. There's abundance of inheritance. It's a place where you will live life to the fullest, a place of abundant life. That Canaan will become a reality in your life by the outworking of supernatural increase. You and I will not go to bed one night and sleep, and then wake up the next morning, and suddenly we're in a place of supernatural increase. It will not happen that way in the natural. But as you walk your journey with the Lord, and as you grow, and as you catch a vision of increase, and as you refuse to settle, as you refuse to settle with little, as you refuse to settle with the small where you started from, where you say your beginning was small, as you refuse to settle with that, the Lord ultimately will take you to a place of supernatural increase, a place of abundance. And many of you are well on your journey there even today. I know many of us are. I know we're very well on our journey. And if you are not yet on that journey, welcome, welcome. Join us, hallelujah. Because we're going there to Canaan land. We're going over there to Goshen. We're going there to the place of our dreams. You know, though, one of the main things that guarantees we get there, do not settle. Go back with me and read this. Read about Terah, Abraham's father. When Terah, in verse 31 of chapter 11, Genesis, the book of Genesis, when Terah took Abraham, his son, Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, he says, and they went forth together to go from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. That's where they were going. Look at the last phrase in that verse. Look at the last phrase in that verse. If you have the Amplified, this is where you see this is a beauty of a thing to see here in the Amplified version. It says, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. Look at that. He says, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. Let me ask you, when Terah, Abraham's father, when he called his entire family, that those that were left, he called Abraham and Abraham's wife, Sarah, he called Haran, he called Lot, he called, let me read that list again. He called Abraham, Abraham's wife, Lot, his grandson, the son of Haran, and whatever else they had were their possessions and the little that they had. When he gathered these people together, when they started their journey in Ur of the Chaldees, let me ask you, what did Terah say to them? You know what he said, because the Bible tells us. Terah said to them, we are going to Canaan land. We are going to Canaan. However, the Bible says, when he got to Haran, he settled there. Haran was not where he was supposed to be going. Canaan was where he was supposed to be going. He settled there, and he eventually died there. I pray that God make you a man and a woman of vision. Everyone that is online with us tonight, a man and a woman of vision, a man and a woman of passion for increase. I pray for you that you will not settle in your Haran. I pray for you because there are generations that are counting on you going all the way to Canaan. I pray for you that you will not get halfway on your journey of supernatural increase and quit and stay there and fold your hands and put your hands on your head and say, it's over, I guess. This is where we pack it all in. I pray that that is not you. I pray that as you proceed on your journey, you will have your eyes fixed, focused on the Lord, and focused on your ultimate destination, and that you will not settle. That you will not settle in Haran. The Bible says here very clearly, when they came to Haran, they settled there. And then in verse 32, he tells us, and Terah lived 205 years. Look at this now. And Terah died in Haran. When he started off, he said, I'm going to Canaan. But when he got to Haran, he settled. And finally, life caught up with him, and he died in Haran, where he settled. I'm so thankful to God that Abraham did not use the example of his father, and he did not allow the example of his father to define his own destiny. I'm so thankful to God. I thank God for Terah, because without Terah, there would have been no Abraham. But I do thank God, ultimately, I thank God today that Abraham became a man of vision. I thank God that Abraham became a man of passion and a man of destiny. I thank God that he did not allow the example of his father to limit and determine how far he could go in life. I thank God that after his father died in Haran, he didn't sit there and stay settled, because they all settled in Haran. Until God came calling for him. And when God came calling for him, he said, yes, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And God said, yeah, you remember? Your father told you you were supposed to be going to Canaan. I want to call you out of your father's house now, and I want to take you to Canaan land. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 12 is the story of a man who refused to settle in spite of the overwhelming pull on his life, in spite of his natural circumstances, in spite of his history. Beloved, I don't know what your history is. I don't know what experiences you have had in your life. I don't know what pictures you have seen in your own personal life. I don't know if you've seen pictures of failure. Maybe the people who came before you in your natural family, maybe all they represent to you, in addition to the other blessings of God, maybe some of what they represent to you is the failure to make it through. Maybe that's what you see. I don't know what you have experienced in your own journey. Maybe you've walked so far along, and maybe you've come to a place where you feel, oh, you know what? I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of frustration. I'm tired of the disappointment. I'm tired of losing out. No, I want to challenge you tonight that you will arise like Abraham arose, that you will hearken to the voice of God, because by virtue of your hearing this word, the word of God that is being ministered to us in this teaching, that is the call of God to you, saying to you, son, daughter, I don't want you to settle in Haran. I want you to rise up, and I want to take you to your Goshen. I want to take you to your Canaan land, because there's so much more that are prepared for you than what you have experienced so far. There's so much more that I've arranged for you to encounter. So let's go. Let's get on that ride. Let's go. Let's get on that journey, and let's see how far and how high the Lord will take us. I want to close out with the first few verses of Genesis 12. I think it's so appropriate to do that, because having read about the story of Terah and how Terah settled and finally died, I believe it's exceptionally unique to this man called Abraham. No wonder God could never have enough of Abraham. I mean, all the way I started out tonight talking about Abraham, reading to you from the book of Isaiah. Think about it. Abraham had been dead hundreds of years, and yet God was still talking about him. In fact, when God talked about him in the book of Isaiah, he said, remember, that is the rock from which you came. He said, that's where I brought you from. You are a stock. You are a chip off of that rock. Whatever it was that made Abraham is within you. And you know, even all the way to the New Testament, we're talking thousands of years after Abraham lived on this planet. The Bible is still telling us in the book of Galatians chapter 3, you and I are the seed of Abraham through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He said, our root is in Father Abraham. And God can't stop talking about him. That's the same way God doesn't want to stop talking about you. God wants to find in you the Abraham of your generation, the Abraham of your family, the Abraham of your dispensation, the one who will not settle, but the one who will gather all the vast resources of the earth that are made available to you, and that will serve God and will serve man using those resources. The one who will enter into supernatural increase and make a difference for God in your generation. Hallelujah. Let's close out here in Genesis 12. I'm reading from the Amplified. Genesis 12, verse 1. It says, now in Haran, the Lord said to Abraham, go for yourself. I like it. I like it. Go for yourself. He puts it in brackets. Say, go for your own advantage. I love it. I love it. Go for your own advantage. Supernatural increase is your advantage in life. Supernatural increase is your advantage in life. The Bible says the voice of a poor man is not heard in the city. He may have all the wisdom to deliver a nation, to deliver a city. He said, but his voice cannot be heard. But supernatural increase is your advantage. Let's read this. He said, go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house. God even referred to his father, Terah, who settled in Haran. And he says, I want you to go to the land that I will show you. In verse 2, he says, and I will make of you a great nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I will bless you, he said, with abundant increase of favors. Woo! Glory to God. I don't know if this is doing to you what it's doing to me right here. Just making me shout. Just something's exploding within me. In spite of Abraham's root, and in spite of Abraham's story, in spite of his history, in spite of his father's journey, God is saying to Abraham, and he's saying to you tonight, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a great nation. He said, I will bless you with abundant increase of favor, and I will make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing. Hallelujah. Dispensing good to others. Woo! Isn't that what the purpose of increase is? I will make you a blessing, dispensing good to others. That's not the end of it. Look at this. It says in verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you, those who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and then I will curse them that curse you, or those who use insolent language towards you. Look at this last phrase here. It says, in you, all the families and kindred of the earth will be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know why Abraham had this promise? And when God called him, Abraham said, yes, sir, I'm ready to go. Yes, sir, I'm ready to go. And he started going. And if you read in the book of Hebrews tells us, Abraham kept his eye on that city. The city whose builder and maker was God, the Bible says. Abraham would not stop going until he arrived at that. And he couldn't get to that city physically. But he prophesied concerning his descendants. He said, you are going to get there. God is going to take you to that land that he showed me several generations ago. Beloved, don't settle. I've taken so much time to talk about this tonight, and I know I'm about to close. I want to leave you with this thought. Don't settle. Don't settle in Haran. I don't care how convenient it seems. I don't care how comfortable it appears, it feels. Don't settle. Like Abraham, you already have your clarion call. I want you to go for supernatural increase. There's more ground to be taken. There's more territories to be taken. There are generations coming after you that are depending on you. Don't settle in Haran. Believe God with me tonight that where you are is only the beginning. No matter how big, no matter how small, it's only the beginning. God will take you to a place that is so far greater than where you are today.